Good evening, you're listening to Skip Intro with me. Now, before we get on with the show, I'd just like to mention that if you want to win a Stranger Things Lego set, head to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter now and find us at Skip Intro NY for more details on how you can win that. So now in the studios with me is Ian McNally, Bahi Yusuf, and Arvin Yuvaraj. We're talking about Season 3 of GLOW. So, what's the feel for the latest season?
This is great television.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling are back. Season 2 left them without a TV show and kind of being... At the time, it seemed like they were being sent to Vegas, as in, like, they're going to hell, right?
Sent out to pasture, almost.
Yeah. And they kind of ignore that in this series. It's like, Vegas ain't so bad. You can have some fun in Vegas.
Yeah, which is... Pretty much, I mean, that was always just, to me, it was always like, hey, Vegas ain't bad.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to focus on the wrestling a lot more in this season, but they don't. They actually focus on the people a lot more. And then the wrestling sort of takes like a back seat. I thought that was going to be the problem because it's the worst kind of wrestling when you have to do like bingo hall fights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what they're doing.
Have you seen hey, a fair bit of those? Have you?
I have. And it's like a stereotype. You know, are you going to wrestle in a bingo hall or whatever? Yeah. And that's what they do. But they don't seem to care. I mean, they seem to actually enjoy it. It puts money in their pockets. They don't like being in Vegas, but they survive being in Vegas. And a lot of drama sort of pops up with the characters themselves. So I think it's a departure from the first couple of seasons. I would have liked to see more wrestling.
Mm.
But also, I got so into some of these people that I didn't mind by the end of it.
That is the thing, right? These characters have grown over the seasons and grown on us, I guess, on the audience. Like, I was happy to see their lives and their little things going on. It's I always bring up Avengers Age of Ultron as my example of this, where it's like people don't like that movie, but you feel like you're just visiting with some friends and it's good to see how they're getting on.
Yep.
This felt like that, especially if you're binging it.
Mm.
You're kind of just sitting there watching these people's lives play out, little petty dramas and small and big changes. There just happens to be wrestling occasionally in it.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I think I'm kind of different from you guys in that I feel like I'm not seeing the show I saw in season one.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if I'm enjoying it as much.
Mm.
You know, I was very excited when GLOW season 3 came out and I was really looking forward to it. And then I sat down, I watched it and I'm like, I don't know if I'll be as excited for season 4 anymore. I mean, I'll probably invariably watch it, but... I don't think it's going to be the shriek excitement for season 3, which I thought was season 3 was going to be. Yeah.
Do you think some of that is just down to the fact that they stay in what seems like a single location for like 5 episodes for half the season?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, there were my issue is that over the series there were some really strong episodes.
Yeah.
Episodes I really enjoyed, and then there were too many episodes where it's not what it says on the tin.
Mm.
You know, I'm not seeing the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. I'm seeing gorgeous ladies have drama in hotel, which is not the show I signed up for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But was one of your favorite episodes, Gorgeous Ladies Go Camping?
It was.
Yeah. That was a strong episode. I think, and honestly, I think the final episode was a strong episode.
Mm.
Yeah. So GLOW is still, I think, like the best depiction of pro wrestling that anyone has ever done. Like I don't think I've seen a movie or TV show that has shown wrestling so accurately. So it's
still
even
stands. Fighting with my family.
No, so
really,
even when the WWE
another
does
movie
it,
we had you on for.
Yeah. So when we did the review for that, I think I said that it's like a cartoon depiction of WWE.
Yeah.
It makes it more digestible and more accessible for, you know, mainstream audiences who don't watch wrestling. GLOW doesn't do that. So GLOW doesn't filter. It's exactly what pro wrestling is. It's shown on screen. So it still is the best wrestling show besides actual wrestling. But I think because they wanted the people to take center stage, they sort of had to neutralize the kookiness and like the insanity of wrestling. And the only way you can do that is by putting it in Vegas. Because once you're in Vegas, then everything's cuckoo. Like everything's crazy.
Everything's
crazy.
So the craziness of wrestling just seems normal.
Yeah, it doesn't stand out. It's like you can have two people fighting in front of you while you're having dinner in Vegas. And it's fine.
Or just like getting married every night for the next six months. Night you get married.
In costume. Yeah, and no one cares. So they don't stick out like a sore thumb anymore. And they're able to focus on themselves. So I don't know how I feel exactly. I like the season, but like Bahe said, I didn't enjoy it as much as season one and season two.
No, I think that's a structure kind of problem. Not a problem for the show, but a problem for stories like this. Because the first two are getting the show together. Is this ever going to work? Everyone needs jobs. The second was like, we're slightly successful at this, but now we're losing the show that we didn't realize we loved. And now it's like, well, this is our job. We can do this. We don't need to practice. We don't need to train. Yeah. We don't need to have a montage of Betty Gilpin and Alison Brie throwing themselves at each other, which was amazing in season one. They didn't. There's no new move for them to get in.
They found their groove, right? So you don't need to show them getting it anymore. Yeah.
And what I said earlier about the location thing, the first five episodes are all set in the hotel. When they got to the episode where they go camping, and it's a bit of a trick because it's not sure whether they're going camping or whether they're breaking up. Because it's kind of plot reasons about what's going on. And we've talked before about like, I hear songs that shouldn't be used in things again because they've been like used up.
Yeah.
So when you hear The Chain by Fleetwood Mac in anything now, you just think of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Yeah.
When Fleetwood Mac's Gypsy played in this, I was like, all right, that's now locked off for a while. It just was this perfect match of Vegas desert, a Jeep, a limousine and a Porsche packed with women wrestlers driving through the desert.
Yeah.
And it just worked perfectly.
Yeah.
And I think they use that. From that point onwards, it does feel like a show of two halves. There is a lot more they want to say about the 80s and what's going on in the 80s. And I should say, because it starts in 86, I think.
Yes.
That first 10 minutes, I nearly wasn't going to be able to watch the show because they have Alison Brie's Russian character bad-mouthing the shuttle challenger as it takes off.
That was painful to watch.
I was terrified that was going to be an episode or a season-long thing of her being pilloried for it. And I was just like, I don't want to watch that at all.
But they perfectly sort of segued. You know? Yeah. They made it a problem for her.
But for that one episode.
Yes. And she was the only one who cared, I think. Like no one else actually cared about her being a super heel on screen and stuff.
Well, super heel in real life, I think.
Which sort of it happened. I also like how they use wrestling gimmicks, but then they don't focus so much on the gimmicks in a wrestling sense. They use it to talk about LGBTQ problems and homosexuality.
Because that has been simmering in the show since the beginning. And they didn't really address it. And they kind of do. And then they leave us on a cliffhanger.
I don't know. I think they dealt with it here in a very natural sort of way.
Absolutely.
For me, I think the approach of it was very tactful, very, very, very nice. It wasn't sort of like a drive the point home, you're all, you know. But
it's not a PSA or a very special episode of GLOW. The storyline is weaved naturally throughout the season,
actually.
That episode, everything that was going on there, like that was, I thought, the show firing on all 6 or 18 cylinders. These are powerful events happening to people you kind of you care about, and that the music and everything that's happening on screen is working together perfectly.
Yeah.
And I like that show.
No, I love that show. And I think that's Netflix sort of using their platform to talk about other things. And they love doing this. Like Netflix has been like super clear about where they stand on these issues. They are very on the left. And once their shows become popular, then they use those shows to talk about things that they want to talk about or those filmmakers want to talk about.
Yeah.
I think GLOW in the first couple of seasons was just about wrestling and wrestling gimmicks, a lot about female empowerment. And now that it's so popular, they can use it to talk about other topics as well. And I love how they did it. Like the segue was so organic and so natural. The writing on the show is still perfect.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid that people might sort of leave the show because it's not about female wrestling anymore.
And I'm probably going to fall into that. And again, I will watch season four when it comes out, but I'm not going to turn off my phone and binge it on the first weekend like I sort of did for two, and I definitely did for one. And I think I like the way they did a lot of this season, but again, I'm just, for me, it's probably the downside of this show is that now I'm learning more about what is it, 18 characters?
Yes, there's an awful lot of them.
There's a lot.
I can't even remember what the actual names are. That's the problem, because I'm so attached to their gimmicks.
Yeah.
Like I know Machu Picchu and Liberty yeah. Bell
Dairy
and
Queen.
Zoya the Destroyer yeah. and stuff. I cannot remember what their names are
I
as
know
characters.
Artie.
Yeah, yeah.
RT, I guess.
RT, yes.
I don't know who else. I think Maya is in there. So, I don't know. Anyway, you know, terrible of us to have watched this show and not know any of the names. But again, I think there are just too many storylines and I'm just getting troubled by that.
We are talking today about the latest season of GLOW. If you have any thoughts, you can send it to us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on social media, we're at SkipIntroMY. After this, we're going to talk more about this series. So keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Hello, it's Skip Intro with Kelvin Yee, Ian McNally, Baha Yusuf, and Arvind Yuvaraj. We've been talking about the latest season of GLOW. So there are just crazy amounts of characters in this show that can sort of become a bad thing if they don't do the development well or the storylines kind of become too complicated. Did they manage to somehow achieve a good balance with the number of characters in GLOW?
They do, but I think there's quite a lot of, you know, you have your A-listers and then
like
you have
main eventers.
Main eventers
and then you have the jobbers and you have the mid-carders.
Yeah, and I think it has always been a show about Betty Gilpin, Alison Brie, Marc Maron, and the guy who plays Bash.
Mm-hmm.
And they have kind of kept the focus on those characters, but they have rotated other characters in. I did feel that Dairy Queen's role was like that. There's a storyline around her and around like sports injuries, and someone even says kayfabe at one point. Like, what about kayfabe?
Yeah, yeah.
If we're going to change things up,
mm-hmm.
and that then just stops. That story stops dead, right?
Yeah, you said Dairy Queen. She's the welfare
oh,
queen.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's a different show. Dairy
I've had
queen.
Ice cream on my mind
because like you said Dairy Queen, I was like Dairy Queen.
Sorry,
queen? It could be a gimmick.
Yeah.
It could be.
That's right. You never
season
know.
Four gimmick.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It comes
yeah,
out
yeah.
in like a milk truck, or you know,
but
I don't
they,
know.
They do talk about a development for her character in the show that doesn't happen,
which
yeah.
I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah,
yeah, I think, and I think for me, as I said earlier, I'm not entirely sure about the number of characters we've got now. I think the magic of season one and season two was the fact that Betty Gilpin.
Alison Brie.
Betty Gilpin, Alison Brie, Marc Maron, and the guy that plays Bash. Their story was together. It was mm-hmm. either two of the four, three of the four, all four. In this sort of round...
Chris Lowell. That's okay. Bash.
Good. That's Bash's name. I'm going to forget in 30 seconds. But I think in season... In this current season, the problem is a lot of their storylines are sort of separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the magic of the show is when Marc Maron is shouting at Alison Brie and Betty Gilpin or shouting at Bash or Bash just like losing his mind trying to put together this show that, you know, then Betty Gilpin's character is trying to help him calm down from. And I'm losing a lot of that, I think.
Yeah, they do jettison Marc Maron out of the storylines pretty early. But he is incredibly watchable in this all the time. Like it's again getting away from the wrestling, just this, like he is the color gray. If you look him up, like he's wearing these awful sweaters yeah. and his face is gray and his hair is gray, his glasses are gray, and just his reactions to everything. Yeah, when the characters decide to switch up their characters in the wrestling show and he's being the judge or the referee, he's just loving it, and you can see the joy on that character's, like that character's face, but also Marc Maron's face.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's great to watch.
I don't know why it's so exciting to see someone sulk so much,
yeah.
like someone who's so down on his life that he hates everything.
And everybody is down on everybody else
everyone.
As well. I'm just like, man, you are the worst, but I can't stop watching you.
It's even his relationship with his daughter.
Mm.
For some reason, I don't know why, but it's so loving.
Yes.
But it's not.
But in a jerk sort
in
of way.
In a jerk sort of way. The way she responds to him and the way he sort of like looks after her.
Yeah.
It's so loving, but in such a horrible, toxic way. You know what I mean? And it's so fun to watch him.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on why.
Yeah.
But every time he's not in an episode, I miss him in the episode.
And it's actually, if you haven't seen the show and we're trying to describe to your character played by Marc Maron, he's not the villain of the piece.
No.
Mm.
He's just...
He seems that way at the first season a bit.
First season, but I think subsequently, and I think in this season especially, he's actually a part of this troop in some way, in some reluctant way.
He is the shriveled, black, tar-filled, yet still beating heart of the show.
Yeah, but
he is. But just That's exactly it.
Just he's not entirely sure he still wants to be. So he's that reluctant leader of this, or heart of this gang. And I think that episode you mentioned earlier about when he becomes a referee and he's surprised and gleefully enjoying all these things happening around him. It's actually nice to see.
Something else that was nice to see was I completely forgot from the trailers that Gina Davis was in this.
I didn't know Gina Davis was in it, and that was the shock of my life.
And then when she turned up, I was like, oh, is she going to be the evil casino owner?
Mm.
And then this isn't that show.
Yeah.
No.
And she just kind of weaves in and out, and it's kind of quite nice, although the way they leave her is also quite interesting. There's a slight down moment in that area, but the episode I talked about earlier with the there's a ball going on, and just there's a surprise there where she turns up, and it's quite unexpected.
Also, just randomly, that particular moment you're talking about was Gina Davis's idea.
Really?
Yeah, it was her thing. Yeah,
and then so first of all, there's like Gina Davis does X, and that's like wow, and then Gina Davis starts singing, and I'm like wow, even better,
even better, yeah.
And she even got to do her thing that she does from like I remember from Beetlejuice, where she just kind of shrugs in that kind of like whatever way, and then walks on.
Mm.
Classic Gina Davis.
I don't know if this is what I worry about when it comes to like Netflix shows. Every time it comes to like a season three, they sort of run out of ideas, and the pop culture footprint is so short. Like it finishes in like a weekend. Then you don't talk about Glow for like a year or a year and a half before they come back. The same thing happened to Stranger Things. They've
then
been confirmed.
Longer gap.
Yeah, longer gap. They've been confirmed for like a season four. Mm. I don't know if Glow is safe.
Glow hasn't confirmed itself yet, but they gave themselves. They gave the audience. You should know there's a cliffhanger. Just so you, they gave themselves a cliffhanger. I think. This has got to be making the numbers. Like Netflix, if they don't release numbers, they know they're fine.
Yeah.
So there is that. But also, you know, Netflix have now got the Netflix curse, which is it's somehow proven that they once a show reaches its third season, it doesn't result in new subscribers to the system. And, you know, cash is king when it comes to that kind of thing. So that's why there was a spate where they canceled. I mean, they had all the Marvel shows anyway, but they canceled a lot of other things that were on the third season. I think Glow can keep going, and I think there's something to be said for that old television sequence. The human mind works well in annual periods, and I think with Stranger Things, the gap kind of made it. It was a bit longer, I think, than a year. The third season, it was a year and a half. And not having it October, I think, was a bad idea. It should always be a scary Halloween time stuff. Mm-hmm. I think having Glow in the summertime every year, it's fine for me. I'd like to see that. I don't know. The last time I think I saw something with 90s nostalgia, it was X-Men Dark Phoenix and the 90s nostalgia, and that was not strong. But I do wonder if we're going to get the same level of nostalgia for 90s stuff because of the advances in media, so much of that stuff sticks around.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a chance to get nostalgic for the 90s because we're kind of stuck with it all the time.
Well, you know, this season also seems to be focusing a lot on the characters, and you mentioned earlier that there seemed to be a lower focus on the wrestling. If it were to develop into a next season where it might move in a direction where that might not even be really relevant to the conversation anymore, relevant to the theme of the show anymore, could they possibly sustain themselves without wrestling, Glow?
I don't think so.
I mean, look, the show is called Glow, and Glow is the show that is the show is based on.
Yeah.
Unless they change it to Flow, former ladies of wrestling.
Yeah, then I'm definitely not watching that stuff. Yeah. And I think this season is that, for me, is that test. Wrestling is no longer the main pitch of this show anymore. It's about 18, 17 women and two guys, just go about their day doing a job. And I think that's not what I'm signing up for when I'm watching Glow.
It's the office in spandex?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it should be like, you know, there are two ways to put people in like extraordinary like circumstances. One is make them a superhero or make them a wrestler. And Glow's doing the second
the
one.
Two.
That's
only
no,
two.
That's the no. only two. That's really the only two.
And they both include wearing spandex.
Spandex, yeah. Colorful spandex, you see? A good guy, bad guy. So if you take away those circumstances, I don't know if I want to keep watching these people. There are a lot of opportunities to bring wrestling back into the storylines because they are like bigger companies and, you know, the WWE or WWF at the time was there. They can work towards making it in the big league. So I don't know if they will do that. But if it's going to be just full-on drama and not so much about the quirkiness of their gimmicks and stuff, I don't know if Glow would work that well.
There would be a certain lyricism or poeticness to them actually finishing after four seasons, because the original Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling TV show only lasted 4 seasons, mm-hmm. I think. So mm-hmm. that when that was like leading into 91 yeah. from Wikipedia. So that would, I think, cap it off. I mean, you don't have to do 6 seasons in a movie anymore.
No, you don't.
You don't need to stretch it out.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I would be okay if they ended it after 4, but I really wish Netflix would let the producers know, because a lot of the time, like for example, Santa Clarita's Diet also ended after 3, but they weren't told until after it was the show had ended.
We'll have to wait for the Excel spreadsheets to come in.
Yeah, but it's also this idea that the producers can't tie up the show, can't close it, right? So if you say that you're at 4 seasons, you're in your 4th season now, just tie up the loose ends so you can get to tell the story you want and then you can end it. That would be really nice.
You can let us know what you think. Drop us a note at movies@bfm.my. You can find us on social media. We're at skipintromy and follow us there because we have a Stranger Things Lego set to give away. It's a huge set. Just get more details again at skipintromy. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.